Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Amen. I want to invite you all now to settle in. Notice your neighbor. Notice the beauty of this place. And I want to invite you to take a deep breath. Just for a second, allow all of the storms in your life to still. A deep breath. You are here. Nothing to prove, nothing to protect, nothing to prove, nothing to protect. For the last several years, this has become my daily mantra, nothing to prove, nothing to protect. I say this simple mantra because I have at times lived as if life is simply a series of opportunities to prove myself or protect myself. Nothing to prove, nothing to protect. Peter said, "If it is you, command me to walk on water." Jesus said, "Oh, you of little faith." I'm curious. What if in this moment Jesus pointed out Peter's lack of faith, not because he couldn't walk on water, but because Peter thought he had to? Oh, you have little faith. I mean, what exactly did Peter lack faith in, that he could walk on water? Where does it command us in our holy scriptures to walk on water? Nowhere. We never read, "Have faith, walk on water." What if Peter lacks faith, not because he couldn't walk on water, but because he felt he had to? In scripture, this is a trend with Peter. He wants to prove himself worthy. He seeks to protect his image and the image of Jesus, and he talks a lot. Peter talks more in the Gospels than all of the other disciples put together. It seems Peter is almost always showing up in this very human way. Peter attempts to prove himself by walking on water. He attempts to prove his devotion in front of all of his teachers and comes up with this half-baked idea to build temples on the mountaintop. Peter tries to catch fish and comes up with nothing. Peter, thinking he needed to protect Jesus, cuts off the ear of a soldier. Peter, trying again to prove himself, rather arrogantly claims that he will never leave Jesus. But then what happens? Peter rebukes Jesus twice, then denies him three times, and yep, he leaves Jesus in his hour of need. Peter, in the Gospels, it seems, always has something to prove or something to protect. Oh, you of little faith. I'm curious, what is Peter trying to prove and protect? And what is the faith that he lacks? In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18, we hear this. Someone may say, "You have faith, I have deeds." But I say, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my good deeds." Faith without good deeds is dead. Our faith can only be made visible in this world by the good deeds we do, by the way that we follow Jesus, by the way that we live. So it makes sense to me that Peter is always trying to accomplish something in our scriptures. Peter has this impulse to achieve, but Peter seems confused about what these deeds are. And as Jesus says, he lacks the faith to do them. I know in this world it is easy to be confused by the difference between doing good deeds and being successful or accomplished. The world around us often tells us that we should spend time and energy working to be good rather than to do good. Nothing to prove, nothing to protect. When we live a life where our energy and our focus is on proving that we are good, successful, accomplished, we end up having very little time and energy and creativity to spend doing good work in the world. What if Jesus wasn't calling out Peter's lack of faith for not being able to walk on water, but because of his lack of faith in himself, so that he thought he had to walk on water to be chosen by Jesus, to be good enough for Jesus, to be special enough to do the work of discipleship and to accomplish the work in order to be good rather than to do good? What if each one of us here is already good enough to do this work? What if we have been given everything we need in order to do the good work? What if we spent less time worrying about being good and rather had deep faith in our ability and worthiness to do good? Maybe having faith in this is what frees us to do the good work. What if this faith in our goodness and the fact that we are loved and we have been called is what saves us from drowning in the sea when the waves become too strong? Nothing to prove, nothing to protect, only God to worship and love to share. What good works could we do if we simply had faith in that? Now, skip ahead a bit, and we hear that this very man, Peter, who lacked faith, becomes the foundation of the church. That is some beautiful irony. What are we to learn from that? It is this same faithless man that shouts out in the gospel, "Save me," as he tried to walk on water, that later in our scripture shouts out on the day of Pentecost, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." It is that man who calls all of the people into the good work now that Jesus is gone. So obviously, Peter grows between the crucifixion and the festival of Pentecost. He grows both in confidence and faith after the loss of his teacher. I wonder what helped Peter grow between those two events. Now, this may not feel like good news, but I believe that what allowed Peter to grow, to take heart, is quite simple and yet profound. I believe what finally pushed Peter to grow in his faith was failure. And not simply failure of not being able to walk on water or build temples or beat a soldier, but the failure in the thing Peter had for some time put all of his faith into, that Jesus would survive, that they would win, that they would beat the empire that they were all fighting. During the life of Jesus, Peter had faith in winning, in succeeding against Rome. But in the end, all that fades away and Jesus dies, naked on a cross, alone. In that time between the crucifixion and Pentecost, Peter had to let go of his ideas of success and accomplishment. All that Peter had really had faith in had sunk. Jesus was gone, so now what? failure has a way of doing that for us, freeing us from the illusions of success and accomplishment, freeing us from what we thought made us good and humbling our hearts. Take heart. Friends, the real miracle of this life isn't walking on water, being successful or accomplished. The miracle isn't being good. The real miracle is walking through this world with faith that we are good, that we are loved, and we are not alone. And then from that place, doing good. The real miracle is having faith in this, that we have nothing to prove. We have nothing to protect. We are simply called to walk in faith exactly as we are, in faith that God has given us all we need to do the good work of loving each other as God has loved us. Amen.